Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This is an odd time in our lives together. It is odd to see a church building empty. It has been fascinating for me to encounter all the different responses that people have to this virus that is sweeping through the world right now. Some people express disbelief or skepticism. I can understand that. There's some genuine mistrust going on, and there's probably some denial as well. Some people respond with great fear and anxiety, and I can relate to that too. I've had to make choices about exactly how much news media I consume. I want the information, and it's changing so rapidly. But an endless stream of news bulletins can make a guy kind of jumpy. So I try to walk that middle line someplace, not hoarding toilet paper, but neither waiting until the last slice of bread has been eaten before I go out and buy a few more loaves. It's at times like this that I find my faith to be tested. And as I ask myself, in whom do I place my trust? Or to borrow an image from today's collect, which is the true bread that I seek? Anxiety and worry are entirely reasonable, appropriate responses to the COVID-19 pandemic. People are, in fact, dying around the world. And without some unprecedented actions, extraordinary numbers of people could die here in the United States as well. That's a scary, unsettling prospect. And because of that, things which were unthinkable just last week, a week ago, remember? Just last week, things that were unthinkable are now beginning to happen. How in the world do you lock down the entire state of California? Or New York? Or New Jersey? This virus is scary, and it's catching all our attention because it threatens us with tragedy. If not my death, than the death of someone close to me. I've been calling my family more frequently. Our country is living in a state of anxiety because we are facing something that is not only threatening, but unknown. We can't see it. We can hardly defend against it. Most of those already infected still can't get tested for it, don't know that they're infected. It's a power that is greater than we are as individuals, and for that reason, it frightens us. Now, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus heals a man who is born blind. An incredible thing. It was a surprising, shocking display of abundant grace where Jesus heals a lifetime of disability. Healing not just the eyeball, but the entire undeveloped seeing apparatus as it extends back into the brain, and making the connections necessary for that man to understand all these sudden new inputs that come with sight. That superpower that everyone else took for granted, but he never enjoyed. And so when we look at the COVID-19 virus, we see something that is powerful and effective, and all too often lethal, something that we cannot defend against adequately. But as Christians, we believe and we have discovered in our own experiences that God is bigger than blindness, even congenital blindness. And God is bigger than any random virus. God is bigger than every disease, every evil, every adversary that threatens, right on down to the really big ones, like guilt and shame and death. But here's the interesting thing in our story. That man born blind was not the only person there with a disability. Right at the very end of our reading today, the Pharisees, Jesus' favorite conversation partners throughout the Gospel of John, they asked Jesus, "What? We're not blind, are we?" And Jesus tells them that if they were blind, maybe God's grace could be poured out upon them and they would not have guilt or sin. But since they insist that they can see, since they refuse God's grace, their guilt remains. What's that about? The common theme through the Gospels is this: who is ready to receive Jesus? Who is willing? Who is willing to recognize Jesus as Lord and Master? And not just that nice boy who provided some wine at his poor cousin's wedding. There was a blind man, lost in his need, who heard the voice of Jesus and responded in faith, obedience, and hope. There were religious leaders, lost in their own pride, who heard the voice of Jesus and responded with indignation, defensiveness, and self-protection. The blind man embraced Jesus' overtures of grace. The religious leaders rejected them. The blind man was receptive in his poverty and his need. The religious leaders felt like they had something to lose. This is the story of our lives. Are we the blind man or the religious people? Are we ready to admit our need, or do we insist, "I'm okay"? Are we more concerned about responding to Jesus' invitation, or about keeping up appearances? Are we more interested in prayer and fellowship appropriate to the season, right? In our homes, or online, or on the phone, or whatever it takes? Or is our concern about showing up in our Sunday best so that we can say, "Oh, I went to church"? That's the fascinating thing about the virus. The virus is scary, and it's all that people are talking about because we have something to lose. And I'm not talking about just about health or life. The virus takes away our illusions of power. It takes away our conceit of sovereignty. It takes away our self-sufficiency. It takes away our status as competent adults able to take care of ourselves. The virus is a reminder of our weakness, of our need, of our helplessness. And those are not pleasant things to experience. But during this season, when those feelings come to us, wanted or not, I encourage you to embrace those feelings, to go with them, to see where they take you. Because those are the feelings and the attitudes that give the lie to our own self-sufficiency and open us up, open up the way in us to the kingdom of God. It's no wonder that conversion experiences are so often linked with the hard times in life. When times are good, nobody much wants a shepherd. We want to do our own thing. When times are difficult, like say at a funeral, that's when we turn to the ideas found in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Here I am, walking through the dark valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not my own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When it comes to the COVID-19 virus wreaking havoc all around the world, we are all blind. That virus is like the wind. We can't see it coming. We just see its effects. And by the time its effects are apparent, it's already on the move again. With the spreading virus and the church's buildings closed until at least May, closed for Holy Week and Easter, this is a season in which our faith is being tested. But the good news is this. Testing means growth. This is for us a season in which our faith can grow. A season in which our eyes can be opened and our capacity to experience God's superabundance can be strengthened. Through our weakness, God's strength will be made apparent. Through our isolation, God can teach us to care for one another. Through our doubt and uncertainty, our faith can be renewed. This is the true bread that comes down from heaven. Even in the midst of difficult times, God's abiding, never failing, invincible love for us. So how does a Christian respond to the COVID-19 epidemic? The same way that we are called to respond to every other event, good or bad, we respond with Jesus' own proclamation. Behold, the kingdom of God is near.